Tim Donnelly, welcome to the Triangle. Welcome to Raleigh. Welcome to our Raleigh affiliate, 99.9 The Fan. How you been?
I'm doing well. Right now, I wish my name was some kind of pun about a Harry Potter book, but but unfortunately, I'm not a Weasley.
Well, you're not a Weasley. That's very good. I don't know. You're not a long bottom.
See,
oh, you're tall.
You're already too deep in. I need to go back and, and rewatch.
I'm more Harry Potter than Star Wars. Oh. Although I appreciate Star Wars, I've also reminded a lot of people it's the same story.
I've heard this.
I've seen
the comparisons online.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
Vader.
In that case, I'm not a Skywalker. Is that the?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what the comparison.
Vader, is. Voldemort, Darkseid, it's the whole thing. First of all. Give me your radio passport. Where have you been? This is like, I've been basically two places.
Okay. Well, I'm more than that.
Baltimore, here, and that's it.
I have sold radio in Baltimore.
As
a salesperson trying to sell ads at WBAL and 98.
That's where I worked.
Exactly. And at 98 Rock, the conglomerate there. That was fresh out of college. Then I was like, no, I want to do the on-air thing. Went back to a station in Delaware where I was football guy, sideline reporter, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I played at the University of Delaware.
You were a fighting blue hen.
Fighting blue hen. Little piece of trivia here.
Sure.
Only female mascot in college sports because a hen is a female chicken.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. one time to the women's basketball coach, I called them the lady hens. And she looked at me and said, that's redundant. You, because she knew I played football, she said, you should be the men hens.
Yes, I agree.
And I went, that's actually a good point.
I actually have a problem with calling, like, we know, we can see. We can see they're women. Why do we need to call them ladies? We see, they're not the lady tar, they're the Tar Heels. Or I don't need to call them lady. I understand that.
And in that case, we don't have to call us the men hens either.
Correct.
So I avoided that one. But then I went to Nebraska, the world's smallest town. I call it my Gladwellian 10,000 hours.
That's the first time you and I spoke. You were in Nebraska at the time.
And I was reaching out for, how do I end up in the Triangle? And eventually, 10 years later, I'm here.
I had nothing to do with it.
You gave me all the best advice.
I've been following that
for the last 10 years like gospel. and that town, the way I tell it is my high school had more people in it than the town I was living in.
Wow.
So
that's culture shock,
which allowed me to make a lot of mistakes and get through it. Went to an ESPN affiliate in Ithaca, New York, upstate New York, covered Syracuse. It was a Yankees affiliate. Then I made my way into the kind of region of the country that I hope to stay in for a long time. It was Blacksburg, Virginia, flagship of Virginia Tech, Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Newport News area. And then 2 days ago, I drove here and we're putting down roots.
Here's family. What do you got?
I have a wife and a 2-year-old son. The family connections to here, I started writing them all out. They get kind of crazy. My grandfather lived in Wake Forest. He worked for Carolina Steel and literally poured the concrete foundation for the Dean Dome.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
So I like to tell people my family's responsible for the foundation of modern UNC basketball. They don't know I'm literally talking about the foundation. My parents lived in Raleigh when they met. While they were dating, every year on their dating anniversary, my mom got my dad Duke basketball season tickets. Backs against the back wall, they could open the window in Cameron Indoor.
Nice.
But it was mid-80s, so it was Dawkins, it was Allery, it was Gillis. And then for the NC State, I like to tell all three in a group, so I have connections to all three. My cousin is who I believe is one of the best football players in NC State history, Mike Glennon. So, I used to ride his coattails to a party or two back in the day. Come to Raleigh and, dueling pianos downtown and everything.
Did he do dueling pianos?
He was there.
He was there.
He was, at that point, the starting quarterback, so he had to, smartphones were a thing, so he would kind of sit there. But his teammates would get up on stage.
Mike is a good dude.
Yeah. I remember his, sorry, Cam, if you're listening, his center, Cam Wentz, on his birthday, got up there and there may have been a itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
Oh, no.
Ad lib. Like there was a changing of the lyrics that was sung about Cam when he was up on stage. So there's the family connections to this area are pretty deep. And my cousin's husband played baseball at UNC. So
look at that.
Like I said, I want to make sure I get all three involved.
All right. I would not be able to work at a Yankees affiliate. I would be physically ill. I grew up basically going to games at Shea Stadium because I'm originally from New York. I don't know how I would last being at a Yankees affiliate.
Well, I'm a Mets fan also.
Okay.
Grew up, part of my childhood was in Jersey. So my dad wanted us to be the local fan, wanted to be fans of all local teams.
Right.
So we were in South Jersey, took us to a Phillies game. And in the first inning, Jimmy Rollins and Pat Burrell out there in left field called each other off on a routine pop fly. It landed right in the middle of it. And I went, I was like 8 at the time. I was like, oh, we don't do that in Little League. I can't root for this team.
Wow.
And they were playing against the Mets. Mike Piazza had a home run off the foul ball pole, and I was like, sold. So then I ended up at a Yankees affiliate. And I just imagined I was talking to all my buddies that were Yankees fans and, you know, kind of played the, I'm gonna rile you up, and then hopefully you'll respect me, and we went from there with the Yankees fans. I don't know if it worked or not.
Yeah,
you live and you learn, but there's a lot of upset Yankee fans in upstate New York.
See, here, I don't talk a lot about the Mets, and this is a good year to not. It's
perfect.
It's been a really disappointing season.
I'm going to ingratiate myself in this market so much so that I never have to talk about the Mets, and I'm only going to talk about local teams, and that's going to be a survival thing.
Yeah, and there are a fair amount of Braves fans. Mm. And I don't hate the Braves. Actually, I enjoy watching the Braves. The Braves are very good, and they do it right. I appreciate that they kind of cultivate their young talent. And
they have so many guys that, like, when you're growing up a fan of their rival, you're like, well, it really would be nice to have a guy like that on the squad.
You
like,
say that about 7 guys
exactly.
on that team.
I'd take most of your starting lineup, and we'd be all right.
I don't like Braves fans, but I do like the Braves.
Just in the interest of not insulting anybody,
sure.
Like my first day, that was Adam Gold that
said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they know that. I say that all the time.
All right, good.
I have no problem with the Braves. I actually like the Braves.
We'll eventually become friends to the point where I'll say that on air, but I'm not going to do it the first day.
That is Tim Donnelly. He'll be on 3 to 6 right here on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. All right, so college sports is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, and having worked in Virginia Beach and at Virginia Tech, or in Blacksburg, do you have a thought about what you see as where we are headed in college football specifically? But there's going to be a trickle down.
Well, I mean, the ACC to me is the most fascinating of the bunch, because they're locked into their media contract till 2036.
Yeah.
So everything else is changing around them, and they're kind of either stuck choosing to be or just stuck by the way of contracts and legalese.
Yeah.
But like the Magnificent Seven that we saw, I don't like
what a silly name. A silly name.
I don't even what else. The Seven Dwarfs.
Kinda.
I look at it like this. Basically, you follow the bouncing dollar wherever it goes, and right now it's all coming from streaming, it's all coming from television. So the number one thing you can do for your program, for your conference, is be entertaining, be exciting, have personalities, put players in the NFL, and then the more people want to watch you, the more secure you're going to be. If you're a program and you're in the bottom half of a conference and you're not interesting, nobody wants to watch you, you don't have the quarterbacks, you don't have the head coach, well, you're going to be asking favors of the teams that do, and I don't like depending on anyone else.
Yeah,
that was a great dinner.
So great. Wait, where'd you park the car?
Oh, the one I just sold at Carvana.
What? When did you do that?
When you were still looking at the menu. I went on Carvana.com, and all I had to do was enter the license plate or VIN, answer a few questions, and got a real offer in seconds.
They picked up the car already?
No, I parked around the corner. But they are picking it up tomorrow and paying me right on the spot.
Oh, no wonder you picked up the check.
Yeah, about that. Thought we were going halvesies.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
The league is in a place. You mentioned contract is up until extends all the way through 2036. The Big Ten will negotiate again before the ACC does.
Pac-12 might negotiate 4 times.
Well, Pac-12 might not. They
might not have a deal, but once.
I don't even know what the future of the Pac-12 is. I mean, I am not a doomsday guy. Mm. I think college sports will look drastically different, certainly 10 years from now, than it does today. I
think they'll look drastically different when you look at standings, when you look at polls, but I think Saturdays are going to remain largely the same. Like, if you're at a game in the second quarter when it's 3rd and 7 or whatever, I don't think you're going to notice a difference. However, just about everything else could be different.
I think the way we're headed, are you a playoff guy?
I am.
Okay. All right. I'm not.
Eight is perfect.
I think we're headed to 16.
Which is too much.
Yeah. I mean, I could argue that 8 is too much. What Dabo Swinney said last year, I think is true. I'm not sure it matters, but I think it's true in that there aren't 8 teams worthy of playing for a national champion who can legitimately say we can win a national championship now. There are at best 3 or 4.
Yeah, but there's not 64 teams or 68 teams that are in the running to be the best team in college basketball.
I don't disagree with that. But what basketball has that football doesn't is really on any given day, like, because the ball sometimes doesn't go in the hoop, that and the 3-point shot is the great equalizer. You could get just getting to a Final Four is a championship, right?
Yes.
So you get a Loyola of Chicago, you get a Butler two years in a row. You can get that. There is the upset factor in basketball that isn't going to ever exist on a consistent basis in football. So nobody is coming out of the 12 hole in a college football playoff and getting to the national championship game.
But having covered, I mean, we'll just look at the ACC. I've covered Syracuse. I've covered Tech. I've covered, now I'll be covering, obviously, everything here in the Triangle. I think there's quite a few teams in the Power 5 that would consider making a playoff a huge accomplishment.
100%. So there are two different stories. What Dabo Swinney said, there aren't 12 teams that can win a national championship is correct. But for a lot of those teams, it's not about winning a national championship. It's about making the playoff. So, and I understand that, but we're asking so much from players. Like, I do believe.
That's a good point. The more games and how are you putting player safety? There's obviously some hypocritical nature to asking them to play more games. I'm with that.
We're still going to have opt-outs, I think.
Playoff?
Yes. I think we're still going to have opt-outs.
But I'll add this. I played at the FCS level where we have a true playoff.
Yes.
I was 24 when I played. I think it's up to 32. We made it to a national championship my sophomore year. Don't ask me how it went. maybe when we become closer friends, I'll tell you how we were up 19-0 at halftime and lost. But we played 15 games that year.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when I hear, if they have a 8-game or 18 playoff, they're going to have to play 15 games. And I'm going like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
And
App did it.
Yeah.
Three years in a row.
One of the years they beat Delaware when they were there.
Okay.
Again, thanks for bringing that up. no, I'm kidding. I wasn't there. That was Flacco. Like 15 games, if you want to opt out, if you don't want to play 15 games, like, do you really want to play football? Like, I for the vast majority of college athletes, you know, I was told when I got on campus as a freshman, you're guaranteed 44 games. At the time, it was 11 games.
Right.
Now they're up to 12. You're guaranteed 44 games. And I never once thought, like, whew, I hope that doesn't go to 45.
Right.
It's everyone else. And if you're going to be a first-round pick, yeah, that's a completely different scenario. But there's only, you know, 32 of those out there, and most of them, or a majority, whatever, 50%, aren't going to be on the teams that are playing 15 games. It's the guys that would kill have one more game, which I'm in, like, looking back, give me 2 more games, I'd give a pinky.
See, we can talk about this all day long.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Tim Donald.
We have
Donald.
6 hours a day starting on Monday between the two of us.
That is that is true. All right, well, I'll let you go. And, well, you're not preparing for a show today. You start Monday?
Start Monday.
All right, who's your first guest Monday? You don't have to tell me because you might not even know yet. I asked.
I'm looking to get quite a few college coaches on, and the order of which is still to be determined.
All right, you're starting at the right time? The dog days, man.
No, starting at the right time because we get to. I mean, it's a long lead up to football season, but we'll ride that whole ramp.
We're not that far away from training camp. The
ACC media days later this month.
Oh, I can't wait to ask Jim Phillips. I've already got
all
my
about,
hand
all
up.
All about, yep.
I already have my hand up, sir. I am just curious. When you were the athletic director at Northwestern, what did you know about running?
Do you want to role play this one? We're here to talk about ACC football and the future of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Please, will someone talk to me about media rights? Please.
He will answer the question in a very... Jim Phillips is a great guy to talk to. He's a wonderful guy. But I don't know that he's going to have a satisfactory answer for this.
I don't know if there is one.
Yeah, there isn't. There is. It's an ugly situation. And Pat Fitzgerald is the best, maybe the best player, football player in Northwestern history, and certainly the best coach in Northwestern history, is no longer the coach at Northwestern. All right, bad stuff to talk about. Tim Donnelly starts Monday on 99.9 The Fan.